Esther chapter 2. Okay, let's read verses 1 through 4. Esther chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Jamin. Some time had passed between chapter 1 and chapter 2, okay? And if we jump ahead to verse 16, and we ask Deborah, please read it. In the seventh year of his reign, right? And the thing was that Esther also spent 1 year doing beauty preparation. So the beginning of the search must have been around the sixth year of King Ahasuerus's reign. In chapter 1, we see that that feast, that was in the third year of his reign, okay? The third year of his reign. So there was about a period of 3 years in between chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay. And this also coincides well with some history, because based on some historical documents outside of the Bible, King Xerxes, in between the third and seventh year of his reign, he actually was preparing to fight the Greeks. So he was busy. Right? He was busy. And then, so I think it falls in line pretty well with the record here. So after that campaign, then, you know, maybe he has more free time now. So what? He starts to miss his former queen, his former wife, Vashti. And then there was proposed that they should search for another queen, right, instead of Vashti. Right, so he agreed. Okay, let's now read verses 5 and onward, 5 through 7. This is now introducing us to new characters, new people in the narrative. Esther chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Sabrina. Okay. Here we are introduced to Mordecai and Esther. First thing I'd like to mention is in verse 5, it says that there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. So the first thing I want to highlight is that the word and the term Jew, this is one of the first times you see it in the Bible. Okay, I mean, right now we hear the term all the time, Jew. But this is a term that eventually came to be used, especially after the captivity, right? After the Babylonian captivity. And then I think the term originally came from the word Judah, but then it became Jew, right? So if you were to like search in the Bible, like when do you see, like you just type in Jew, like the first time you see it is in 2 Kings 25, right? First 2 Kings 25, 25. And then you also see it in like Ezra, which is like well into the time of captivity, etc. Right? So just to point that out. It says Mordecai was a Jew, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah. Right? Jeconiah is actually another name for the king Jehoiakim, C-H-I-N, Jehoiakim. This, by the way, you can study yourself too, right? The last few kings of Judah, the names sometimes get confusing. But especially after King Josiah, you can start to look into those kings and what happens to them. But King Jehoiakim, he was captured, right, and taken captive to Babylon. And this is the year 597. This is the second exile I was talking about yesterday morning. Do you guys remember? There's three exiles. Okay, second exile, this king, Jehoiakim, was taken to Babylon, along with which prophet? Huh? In the second exile, which prophet was captured? Ezekiel. Okay, Ezekiel. You can jump to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, you don't have to turn to it. That's just for your record, right? That's how you know. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, going back to Esther. Okay, so like Mordecai, one of his ancestors, Kish, had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah. Right. So Mordecai is here living in the Persian kingdom. He did not go back to Jerusalem. Mordecai, the name itself, anybody know what Mordecai means? Mordecai, it means, based on this book I have, it means little man or bitterly reduced. So I don't know. That's his name, right? Mordecai. Okay, and Mordecai, he, in verse 7, says, had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, right? Hadassah, that is Esther. Do you guys know what Hadassah means? So we usually are more familiar with Esther, that name, but her Jewish name is Hadassah. Hadassah means myrtle. Myrtle, like a myrtle tree. M-Y-R-T-L-E. M-Y-R-T-L-E. I actually didn't look this up, but what I heard is that a myrtle tree's flower looks like a star. So Esther means star, right, in Persian. So actually, myrtle, Hadassah and Esther is like related together. Right. You guys follow that? Any questions? Okay. Okay, and who was Esther? Esther was his uncle's daughter. Uncle's daughter. So they were technically cousins. For she had neither father nor mother. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Okay. So I think when we read up to here, I think we can spend some time talking about another aspect of family life that you may want to think about and consider, right? Which is the topic of adoption. Adoption. Adoption is a very biblical concept. Okay, in fact, God's salvation is often spoken of in terms of adoption. All right? This is first prophesied in the Old Testament. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. Verse 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 4 and 5. Paul. Yeah, Isaiah 56, verses 4 and 5. This is this whole chapter is talking about a prophecy, talking about salvation for the Gentiles, right? And what does it say? It says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Why does it specifically mention eunuchs here? Well, in the Old Testament, if you were a eunuch, if you were like, if you had some type of deformity, you cannot serve as a priest. You cannot like draw close to God. Like, did you know that there's some regulations for priests? If you're bald, you cannot serve as a priest. Right? You know that? If you're a hunchback, you cannot serve as a priest. Right? So anyway, eunuch is used here like symbolically. It's talking about people who were originally cut off from God, far away from God. If they keep God's Sabbaths, they hold fast to God's covenant, then what does it say? Verse 5 says, I will give even to them I will give in my house, within my walls, a place and a name. Right? Better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Okay? So this is the action, even though the word is not mentioned here, but this is the action of adoption. Right? When you adopt someone, this person originally was not part of your house, was not part of your family. You take them into your house, you give them, they're allowed to bear your name, usually. Right? Anybody know people who have been adopted? Right? Do they bear the last name of their adopted parents? Do you know? Yeah, they do, right? They do. I knew a few adopted people in high school. I especially remember two or three Korean Americans, right? They were adopted by, I think they were born in Korea, but they were adopted by Americans. So they have American last names. Okay. So, yeah, so maybe when you just first originally look at the name, you don't think this person is Asian, but actually they were Asian. Right? So when you are adopted, you have the right to be in the house. You have the privilege and honor to be in the house. You also can have the name too. Okay? And then this will be an everlasting name that will not be cut off. So this is, of course, talking about God's salvation, that God will give them the right to be a son and daughter, even better than a son and daughter. And this inheritance, this name, will never be cut off. Right? So, of course, this is not talking about physically speaking. This is talking about spiritually speaking. God will adopt all these type of people who were originally cut off from him, were very separate, these Gentiles, then now they will be part of the house of God, right? The salvation of God. So you can see in New Testament, Paul often talks about salvation in that way too. Okay, let's look at a few verses. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Benny. Okay. Right here, especially mentions the phrase spirit of adoption, referring to the Holy Spirit. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, right? Which is talking about being enslaved to sin, to the law of sin, right? To your sinful nature. No, what you received is the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit basically testifies that we are the sons of God. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 9, right? Verse 9. Timothy. Chapter 8, verse 9. Right, the Spirit of Christ basically testifies that we belong to God and that we are now His children. There's another verse we'll turn to later that makes that even more clear. But this Holy Spirit is a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Okay, so God has now adopted us as His children. Since we are His children, especially from the point of view of salvation, we are heirs. We have an inheritance. And this inheritance is the heavenly kingdom. Okay. All right. So we can keep reading. Oh, okay. Verse 16, right? Verse 16 and 17. This is maybe what I was trying to look for. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Can we ask Rochelle? All right, so the Spirit of God, a Spirit Himself bears witness that we are the children of God and that we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ, okay, that we can eventually be glorified together with Christ. Okay. Let's also turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 5. Oh, sorry, before there's two Timothys. Let's ask Timothy again. Okay, amen. Same thing, right? This is talking specifically to the Jews, I think. Right? The Jews originally were under the law, but when Christ came, He redeemed those who were under the law, and the Jews can become adopted as sons. Right? And then verse 6, very similar to Romans, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Okay. So salvation, spoken in terms of adoption again. Finally, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Sophia. Okay, this is talking about the church of God, which basically was already in existence, right, before the foundation of the world. God had already chose us in Him to be predestined to what? Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, right? So I think I'm very clear, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a lot of different verses and language talking about salvation in terms of adoption. Okay? So that people who are originally not part of the family of God, not part of the household of God, right, referring to salvation, now can be saved, now can enter into the house and receive the inheritance, the full rights, the full privileges of a son or daughter. So this is the spiritual angle of adoption, right? But the physical angle is also something we can think about too, right? I know that there's a lot of Christians in general that try to promote adoption, which is something very biblical, okay? Because, here we see Mordecai taking in Esther. You can see that in general, salvation is talking about how God showing mercy and compassion on those who originally were not part of His house, right, to the Gentiles, and then adopting that in. So in the same way, like in the future, like if you have the means, you have the love and mercy, you can also consider adoption in the future, okay? But one thing I would say, like I also like spoke to, several years ago, I was speaking to some sisters. Some sisters had this concept of, like they would not have any of their own children, purposely not have any of their own children, and adopt, just adopt. And to me, I think it's a little bit weird. Anybody have that concept here? Do you think that's weird or? I don't know. I think it sounds also very logical because they're thinking there's already so many souls and people in this world already. And so rather than bring another life into this world, like just take a life that's already here and then raise them as your own. And it's very noble, right? Very noble. But I think if you have the ability, right? Like my personal interpretation of scripture is that if we have the ability to have children, right, we shouldn't take extremes like telling God we have to have this amount of children, nor should we take the other extreme of I don't want to have children at all. Okay, I don't think you see that in the Bible where people purposely are saying I don't want to have children at all. So if God has given us a healthy body, the ability to have children, then we should have children, right? Be fruitful and multiply, right? And raise godly offspring. I think in the case where you already have children, maybe you could not have any more, or you could not have any children at all, then I think adoption, if you really want to have children that way, you can also consider, okay? But I don't think like to say I don't want to have any children at all. To me, it's not a biblical concept. Right? It's not a biblical concept. Yeah. Any questions on adoption? Okay, let's go back to Esther chapter 2. You must be aware though, right? Adoption, I mean, it sounds very... also sounds very nice, but you have to be aware too that it might not be as, it's not going to be as easy as you think. And also in America too, it's really expensive to adopt. So you have to be ready for that. Like, for some reason, it's so expensive, and there's a long process. Okay, all right. Okay, let's go back to Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Okay. This gives us a sense of who Mordecai was as a person. He was a very caring person. Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Right? Mordecai was a very, very caring person. A very compassionate person, helping the fatherless. Okay, so in the Bible, even if we don't adopt, the Bible is very consistent in teaching Christians, the people of God, to show care and concern to those who are in need, right? The fatherless, orphans, widows, people who are in a lot of physical need. Let's turn to James. Right, let's turn to James. James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. Mark. Okay. So, one way to express a pure religion, right? Of course, like, doctrine and salvation is important, but this faith and the salvation that we received, it should also manifest in various actions and love towards this world that we live in. And one way you can do that is, here it says, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Especially back then in their society, in the ancient society, there was no these kind of social benefits, right, for people who were in great need, like orphans. Orphans, they didn't have parents, so basically they would have to resort to begging, right, especially if they're little. Right? Widows, in that society, the woman counted entirely on their husband for the income. So if they lost their husband, they were not able to remarry, then they would be often in financial difficulty. So one really practical way to show the love of Christ is for them, for us, and for the people at the time, to give food, right, and take care of orphans and widows. So today, you can see that in most advanced countries, society is a little bit different, right? Society is a lot more compassionate towards those who are in need. So in America, also other countries, you can see there's a lot of benefits for those who, are unemployed, or you can see like orphanages now, you can see things like this. Actually, all of this was influenced by Christianity, right? All of this came from Christianity, because before Christianity came and kind of covered the face of the earth, Roman society basically didn't really value life. Okay, it didn't really value. I mean, you know about the gladiator games, I think, right? So for them, it was sport to see humans kill each other, right? So for that type of society, Romans, like, too, if they had a child that was born that looked weak or sickly, they would just leave them out in the open to be killed, right? So the whole, like, nowadays, even whether you are a Christian or not, the fact that people value life, right, and have compassion towards everyone who is alive. In fact, this is very much a Christian influence on society, whether people were willing to admit it or not. Okay, and also, you know, a lot of churches and Christians in general, they open these type of orphanages, etc., to take care of these types of unfortunate people. Okay? And then also, now the government too, the state itself also offers assistance to people who are in need. Okay? This very much is a Christian influence on society. So going back to Esther chapter 2 verse 7, I mean obviously Esther was family to Mordecai, but still Mordecai was willing to like redeem her, you could say, and like take her in as his own. This is an expression of a great compassion and love. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay, let's now let's try to finish the rest of this chapter. This is our fourth class already. We have three classes left, right? So let's read. Let's read verses 8 through 9 first. Xingru. Esther chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. Yeah, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Okay, so this is talking about how Esther eventually was involved with this decree to find a new queen for the king. And when she was taken under the custody of the eunuch, she was able to obtain his favor, right? This is even though it doesn't say here, and it doesn't mention God's name in the whole book, but we can see that this was due to God's abidance. Right? God allowed her to obtain his favor. Right? So in the future, right now you have teachers. In the future, you have bosses and supervisors, all this. Right? It would be good, right, if you can obtain the favor of your teachers and your future bosses, future supervisors, because really, they can help your life become easier, right? They can help your life be easier. And a lot of times, really, it's you got to ask God to give you good opportunities or ask God to help you be able to win their favor. Right? I think one time I shared this. When I was living in Los Angeles a few years ago, my wife started to work for UCLA, the university. And she was working, and there was this, I think, vice chancellor or someone really high up there. She had this reputation for being really hard to work with, okay? So most people who were assigned to go help her with her computer problems, they would usually come back also, like, not being very happy. Or she also would complain. Okay. So anyway, one day my wife was assigned to go help her, right? And they were just talking, and they found out that they went to the same university, which is Rutgers University. And not only that, they went to the same college in Rutgers University. Because back then, I don't think they have it anymore, but back then, there was a women's college called Douglas College in Rutgers University. So my wife went there to Douglas, and she went to Douglas. So like it was just like a wonderful coincidence, right? But like, you know, but thank God, God let them discover that. And this vice chancellor was very praiseworthy of all of my wife's work, right? So in the past, everyone who helped her was like, you know, always get bad remarks or whatever. But she was a vice chancellor, and then she was praising my wife to her direct supervisor of how good of a worker she was, right? So these type of things can happen and do happen. And I think as long as we are close to God, God will continue to abide and work with us. Okay? So right now you're in high school. Anybody, you know, in generally good terms with your teachers? Okay, yeah, I think continue to work hard, right? Obviously, be Christ-like, and I think God will give you opportunities to win their favor. And then maybe they'll help you out. They'll make your life easier, right? So here, Esther was able to win his favor, and he gave her like more beauty preparations, right? Extra. And not only that, moved her to the best place in the house. Maybe she could sleep easier, get the beauty rest. Okay, beauty rest, very important for, I think, your appearance. I think, is it true? In general, I think rest, right? Stay hydrated, sleep well, and then generally your appearance will be better and healthier. Okay. Otherwise, we have what, bags under our eyes or something. I think I might even have bags under my eyes today. I don't know. Okay, so she had the best place in the woman's quarters. Okay, let's read verse 10 and 11 now. 10 and 11. Isabel. Okay, here especially mentions Esther did not reveal her identity, her race, to them, because Mordecai had specifically told her not to. Right? And then Mordecai would also pace in front of the court of the women's quarters to learn what Esther was going through every day, how she was doing. Okay. So here is just kind of to show Mordecai's concern to Esther, daily concern, and overall concern to make sure she was doing well. Right. Let's now read verse 12 through 14. 12 through 14. Think how. Concubines. Okay, so this is just talking about the process of how the king would select his queen. After 12 months of preparations, the women would have their turn to go and see the king. And basically, when they went, it was kind of like an interview process. Not like that, don't think of it like a job, but it was basically to see if the king would like her. And she could take something from the women's quarters there. So it probably involved some type of entertainment, right? Like maybe an instrument. They did spend the evening, so maybe there was something else too. I'm not sure. but basically, if the king was delighted, then he could call her again. Okay. Let's now read verse 15 through 18. 15 through 18. Vivian. Okay, so this is talking about how Esther eventually quickly became the queen. She, again, obtained the favor of the king. This, again, was all due to God, right? God was the one who allowed her to find favor in his eyes. Right? I'm sure there were a lot of other, right, very beautiful women, but God allowed King Ahasuerus to especially, and then not only him, all the other people, right, who saw her, to really just feel that she was perfect. Okay, so then she was crowned as queen instead of Vashti. I think our time is up, so thank God we finished chapter 2. We have eight to go. Oh, wait, we haven't finished chapter 2. We still have this section, yeah. We finished this. Okay, we finished part of chapter 2. We have 8 to go, and we'll continue tonight. Let's now bow our heads and pray in silence.